You are listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. This morning we are looking at the book of Samuel, the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11 and 19 through 20, and also chapter 2, 1 through 10. Before we begin, though, I invite you to join me in prayer. Lord God, as we gather here this morning, we pray, O God, that we will give it to you. We will give it to Jesus as we come and seek your blessing in our lives. Lord, as we gather around your word, may the words of my mouth and the words in the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Our strength, our rock, and our Redeemer. Amen. What an interesting read we had this morning from the book of 1 Samuel. Some of us may remember parts of the story of Samuel, how he was called by God as a young man. We like to remember how God called out to him in the dark of night, and he went and he thought it was the priest Eli who was speaking to him. This morning we pick up the story earlier on. We are hearing more about his past, more precisely his mother and her life before he was born. But before we jump into that, we should probably just look at that gap of time between last week and this week really quickly. Last week we looked at Moses. He was up on the mountain for 40 days, and the people of Israel began to get a little impatient. And so they decided to take it in their own hands. They built that golden calf that they worshipped. And so we also read, though, that God spared his judgment on the people because they broke his laws. And so they continued to wander for those 40 years in the desert after that. Once the Israelites made it to the promised land, the Israelites, they spent a little bit of time getting settled, so to speak. They had lots of adventures as they made their way into the promised land and made their homes there. And they went through a time when they had a number of leaders that were called judges. And this was a time of repeated sin and repentance as the leaders called the people back to God. And there's a whole book in the Bible called Judges on that part of the story. The thing is, though, the end of the era of the judges does not end well. It's not a pretty sight. A lot of bad things are happening. And the book of Judges ends with, in those days, there is no king in Israel. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. So the world right now for the Israelites is a world where people are doing whatever they want, whatever makes them happy, whatever that pleases them. And so when we see that in the Bible, what normally happens? What normally happens is the people find themselves in all kinds of trouble. So that's kind of the brief history from last week into this week. And we've passed through a good number of generations in that time. And it leads us into today looking at Samuel's mother, Hannah. And so what we read this morning, we kind of skipped through the story of Hannah a little bit. We skipped over a number of verses here and there. And we jump in at verse 9 where she's standing at the door of the temple and she's begging God for a son. And if he did give her a son, then she would dedicate his life to serving the Lord. So a question we might have when we jump in at that spot is, what got Hannah to that point that she's so desperate for a son that she's standing outside the temple in distress praying to God for a son? Well, we need to know a little bit about this first 9 verses, the first 8 verses. We need to know more about Hannah and what's going on in her life. What's her family situation like? And so Hannah is one of two wives of Elkanah. The other wife of Elkanah, her name is Peninnah. And Peninnah has children. She's given Elkanah children, descendants. And Hannah is barren. She can't have children. But of the two wives, Elkanah loves Hannah more. He would give her a double portion of food then he would give Penina and her family, her children. Which, of course, drove Penina wild. Wouldn't it bother you? So Penina, what did she do in response? Out of jealousy, she would taunt and bully Hannah severely because she had children and Hannah couldn't have children. And so this went on for years. So Hannah, even though she's got this extra food, this extra attention from Elkanah, she won't even eat. She's so afflicted by Penina's bullying, her cruelty. Elkanah, her husband, would try and comfort her, but it wouldn't help. So that brings us to what we read this morning. Hannah at the gates of the temple, weeping and praying to God for a son. And so we hear of her promise that to dedicate her child to the service of God. Here's what she says. O Lord of hosts, if you will only look on the misery of your servant and remember me, and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head. All of Samuel goes to God. Remember, we're in a time when the nation is doing whatever it feels good with. Whatever it wants to do, the people are doing. The people are out to please themselves. So Eli, who is the priest in the temple, he's not all that busy right now because nobody's coming to God. People are living sinfully. In fact, the tribes of Israel are even in a civil war right now. They're fighting amongst themselves. So here's Hannah standing at the gates of the temple, praying for her son. She's weeping. And we skipped over the part, but Eli comes out to her, and he thinks she's drunk. That's how bad things are right now. He thinks she's drunk and tells her to move along. The state of the world is that if somebody's hanging around the temple crying and mumbling to themselves, there's a pretty good chance they're drunk or on something. That's the state of Eli's view of the world right now. But what's happening? Hannah is being faithful. She's seeking God's direction and she's seeking his blessing in her life. Remember what we said last week about God. We said God is passionate. And he's passionate about two things, faithfulness and justice. And we're seeing them here again today. Hannah is seeking justice for how poorly she's being treated. If she could only have a son, Penina would leave her alone. She'd have nothing to torture her about. And so Hannah is trusting in God for help. Hannah is showing great faithfulness, great trust in what God can do for her, even though the world around her is seemingly falling apart. So Eli spends a couple of moments with her and hears part of the story. He hears the faithfulness in her voice. And as she leaves, he says, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And so Hannah went home to her husband, and sure enough, they conceive a child. And he becomes Samuel. So Hannah cares for Samuel until he is weaned, which is probably close to 3 years old in those days. And at that point, she does as she's promised. She takes Samuel to the temple and leaves him there to live as a child of God. Barren women in the Bible have significant stories to tell. If we go back to Abraham and Sarah, we remember God blessed Sarah with a son. And he did so in their old age. It was well known that Sarah was barren, and certainly she was well past the age of being able to have a child. Yet God blessed them with a child, as he promised he would when he told Abraham and Sarah that they would be the parents to a great nation. So along comes Isaac to be that great nation. And if we skip ahead to the New Testament, we pick up with Elizabeth. Remember, she is Mary's cousin, who also conceived a child later in life when she was thought to be past the age of bearing children and also thought to be barren. This child was John the Baptist, who prepared people for the coming of Jesus. This child, Samuel, is important. Samuel is a big part to play in the Bible. He is one who is called by God to do a great thing, that is to bring people back into relationship with God. And Samuel also pretty much paves the way for the kings. He is the one who leads the way to King David, who is thought to be one of the greatest kings in the Bible. And King David, we know, as being an ancestor of Jesus, because Jesus is from the family of David. So Hannah's seemingly simple prayer for a son is a world-changing event. And after she drops her son off to the temple, she sings a song. The song is very much written like a psalm, as she shares her beautiful poetry, her faith, with the world. In her joy, Hannah acknowledges that God is indeed faithful. And she begins by saying, "There is no holy one like the Lord, no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed." There's no one like God, Hannah says. And this is coming from a poor, barren woman who came to God asking for help. And he delivers. She had a son, and it was God who blessed her in her time of distress. In her song, Hannah reminds us that God, our God, is a God who brings justice to the faithful. So what does she say? She says, "The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out for bread, but those who are hungry are fat with spoil. The barren has borne seven, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and he raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillar of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set their word." Hannah sees the justice which God has brought to her. She has seen how she was once a weak, poor woman, and now she knows that God has lifted her up, and he will do so for others who are also faithful. Now, before we go any further, I'm not saying that families that have been praying for a child and can't have them are being punished. We must not think that, because it may not be true. Or we can't think that we're praying wrong or that God doesn't care. I don't know why those prayers don't get answered. But my response would be that we need to look for the blessing. In the case of Hannah, God uses her child to spark a change in the world, just like he did with Sarah and he did with Elizabeth. God had a plan for those families. Does God have a plan for childless families? You bet he does. It just may look differently than we think. It's not an easy thing to have our desperate prayers go unanswered. So we need to be patient and wait on the Lord. Will he answer? Yes, he will. In some way, at some time, and maybe not as we expect or as we want, but the prayers will be answered. Hannah knows this. Would she have liked to keep her son at home? I bet she did. Was there a tearful departure as she left him at the temple? I'm willing to bet it was a pretty ugly scene with lots of tears. But even after all of that, knowing she's only going to go see her boy maybe about once a year, she still has a beautiful song that she sings. A song about the faithfulness of God who lifts up the weak and gives them strength. It's a song that's quite similar to the song that Mary sings after she's visited by the angel to tell her she's going to have a special son. While not barren, Mary conceives a child in other miraculous circumstances, as a young woman, as a virgin. And Mary sings about lifting up the weak, blessing the lowly, and his care for the faithful. And if you look at the two songs, you will see that there's a number of common references. There's a common theme between them about God's goodness, God's faithfulness. So what can we take from this? Hannah, a barren, childless woman, is blessed by God. Other women are also selected by God to have special children in unbelievable circumstances. Some of them have songs recorded in Scripture about the gifts they have been given. All of their children have significant impact on the people they have come to be with. You know, for Abraham and Sarah, it's Isaac and the people of Israel. With Samuel, it's a child offered to God who becomes king and paves the way for King David to bring the people back to knowing God. John the Baptist grows up to be the man who points to Jesus as he walks by and says, "There is the Lamb of God who's come to take away the sins of the world." All of these births brought new direction for God's people. All of them brought hope in a time of despair, all born at a time when the world really needed someone to come and help bring people back to God. And all of them were part of God's plan for bringing Jesus into the world. Jesus is the final special son born in the Bible. And he too is one not born of normal circumstances, born in a miraculous way, born to a virgin. There is no earthly father for Jesus, just the heavenly Father. Jesus is born to live out the words of these songs the women sing, to break the bows of the strong and to bring strength to the weak. The one who brings life to those who are dead in spirit. The one who will bring the needy out of their hopelessness and bring them to the throne of God as they inherit a seat next to the Prince of Life. This is true. This is the true God we worship. This is the one who sent Jesus Christ, his Son, into the world so that we may know of his great mercy. When we feel we are beaten by the world and its expectations, this is who we can turn to for hope. I can say this because it's true. Hannah knew it to be true. She had nowhere else to go for relief from her abuse. Her husband tried to play that role by giving her gifts and loving her more, but they could not fill the hole she had in her heart. So she ends up going to the temple. She goes to the temple and she pours out her heart to God. When nothing else in her life could bring her hope, she went to God. And God gave her hope. Her life changed. Not just by the birth of her son, although that most certainly helped. Her life changed because she realized God is the one who keeps his promises. He is the only one we can count on to keep promises. I know I'm terrible at this. I can't count the number of times over the last month where I've said I would try to do something and I didn't. Whether it's for my family or for one of you or someone else, I have broken promises this month. When I make these promises, do I mean to break them? Of course not. When I say something, I say it because it's something I want to do. But I'm also easily distracted and forgetful, even though I have my little phone to help keep me organized. Aren't we glad we have someone we can completely depend on? And aren't we glad it's not me? God is the only one we can completely trust. He is the one, when He makes a promise, He will keep it. He will fulfill it. He is the one we know we can go to for hope, help, encouragement, and direction. His past is not littered with broken promises, as I'm sure a number of us might be. The Bible is full. It's completely full of His promises and His fulfillment of those promises. So who can we depend on above all others? It is God. It's God who gives hope to the hopeless, strength to the weary, and the life to the lifeless. He's here for us. All the time, He is here for us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, You are the God of promise. Lord, You came to Hannah and gave her life. You heard her cries and wiped away those tears of pain and replaced them with tears of joy. Father, may we too experience the life You wish to bring to us. May we feel Your Spirit flow into our hearts so that we may share in this joy. Help us to see Your promise for us. Help us to bring us closer to You. Help us to see Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, and His action in our lives. We pray this in His holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.